Jabroni Zone Radio.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land. Here age relives fond memories of the past, and here youth may savor the challenge and promise of the future. Disneyland is dedicated to the ideals, the dreams, and the hard facts that have created America, with the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world. Thank you.
Welcome, everyone, to Roni Zone Radio number 14. That's 14. And this time we're going to do something very, very cool. We're going to have a show that's going to center around Disneyland. And we're going to have an interview with a couple of folks, including me, and we're going to geek out about Disneyland for a while. It's a great park. It's a great place. And we're going to talk about secrets. We're going to talk about Christmas time at Disneyland. We're going to talk about what you need to see. We're going to hopefully tell you some things that you've never heard before. And maybe if you have, you know, maybe you forgot about it. So this show really isn't about someone who's been to Disneyland 1,000 times, but maybe it's someone who maybe used to live in California or nearby and used to visit Disneyland and maybe move to the East Coast or somewhere else around the world. And maybe they're listening and they're saying, oh, I remember that. Or, oh, that's so much fun. So we're going to relive some memories. We are going to hopefully teach you some things you've never heard about before and also just give you another perspective. And also at the end, we're going to have a special treat. And now all you Disney freaks, Disney Freak Speak.
Welcome, everybody, to Roni Zone Radio. And this time we're going to be talking about the happiest place on earth, which is Disneyland. And this is called Disney Freaks Speak. We are all proclaimed Disney Freaks. I am here with Holly. Say hi, Holly. Holly.
Hello.
Okay. And Colleen.
Hi.
Okay. We're going to be talking about all things Disney. We're going to be talking about some secrets, some things that you can actually see that are secrets, best times to go. We're going to have a good time. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things. So, Holly, we'll start with you. How many times, roughly, do you think you've been to Disneyland?
Well, probably for fun, about close to 100 times.
Okay.
But if you include working, about 1,000 times.
Yeah, used to work there. Okay.
What's our time frame for how many times we've been to Disneyland? If we're talking since I was 13, I'd say close to 1,000 times, if not more.
Okay. I think I'm about 500, I guess. Okay. Now, what entertainment icons have you seen at Disneyland? Visually, yourself seen. Go ahead. We'll start with Holly.
Ooh, I have a lot. Best one was Mel Gibson.
Okay.
Eddie Murphy, Terry Hatcher, Julie Andrews, Michael Jackson, very big icon, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, Olivia Newton-John, and James Earl Jones.
Wow. Now, since you worked there, you knew when they were coming, right, sometimes?
The only one I knew who was coming was Michael Jackson.
Okay. Yeah.
The ones that were happenstance.
Okay. Colleen?
Actually, I would have to say Michael York and Robert Urich were the two big ones that I saw. Actually, James Earl Jones, too.
Okay.
That was during Christmas time, so.
Okay. We'll be talking about Christmas at Disneyland a little bit. I saw Steven Spielberg, Amy Irving, Harrison Ford, and his wife, Melissa Matheson. He was married. Yeah. He was married at that time. And also Max Spielberg was there in a stroller. And I was in line in Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and I looked out the window, and I saw, it looked like Harrison Ford. Then I looked over, and I saw Spielberg taking some pictures with some children for a mom and all this. I said, we got to get out of this line. So we had some good looks, and I took some fuzzy pictures. I've also seen in the Disneyland Hotel side, Bronson Pinchot, Sam Elliott, and we saw Raven Simone. And let's see, I think
Drew Barrymore in disguise at DCA.
Drew Barrymore was in disguise at DCA. She was wearing an awful wig and huge sunglasses, and she was with an older couple. And I think she just either chose them or they were family friends or something like that. So, okay. What are your three favorite things to do at Disneyland? Holly, go ahead.
I would have to say going to the Blue Bayou is always fun.
Okay.
And you've got to see the fireworks for sure.
Okay.
And then ending with a stop at Candy Palace.
Mm. Okay.
I'd have to say the train ride. I always love the train ride. It seems so simple, but I love that. Probably my next favorite thing, or, well, it's not really in order of appearance, or favorites, the Tower of Terror at California Adventure. But if we're talking about actual Disneyland, then I would have to say Space Mountain. And then pretty much eating in the park, just about anywhere.
Okay. Let's see. My three favorite things is probably riding Indiana Jones, riding Star Tours, and then a third. Probably Haunted Mansion. Yeah. We'll just leave it at that. Holly, if you could tell us three Disney secrets that you can see when you go to the park that maybe no one else would realize what this is, but once you explain it, then somebody could go and say, oh, yeah, it's that part right there.
Sure. One of the ones I can definitely think of is in Star Tours, right after you come back from your tour, you come up and they're showing the control tower, and if you look in the lower right-hand corner of the screen, there is a Disney cast member parking sticker.
Okay.
In the lower right-hand corner. And actually, if I remember right, in that same movie is the Incredible Shrinking Ray from Adventures Through Outer Space.
Mm-hmm. Yes, at the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah. And then if you go on Pirates of the Caribbean, when you first come into the area where they're having the two ships are fighting back and forth, or actually the ship and the land, if you look on the big mast on the left-hand side, when the pirate that's talking turns his head, his hat turns into a Mickey.
Okay.
Mickey on the mast.
And finding those hidden Mickeys, that's a huge deal. There's a lot of people that are into that.
There's actually another one right there in Pirates of the Caribbean, too, in that same exact spot. If you turn and look at the wall where they're firing on the ship, there's also a Mickey head embedded in the wall from the cannon blast. Mm.
Ah, that's a good one.
So, Holly, did you have one more?
This is more of just kind of a little small thing, but if you go and look above the balcony above Pirates of the Caribbean, there's wrought iron in there, and hidden in the wrought iron are Walt's initials.
Oh.
And actually, Roy, too, I think.
Yeah, I believe it's both.
And
okay.
It's not directly right above. It's actually the terrace that's just to the... It's almost above... That
the
little
gallery.
Yeah, it's to the right of the gallery, which is what the upstairs is. But it's that external balcony where people go and sit and watch Fantasmic and stuff.
Exactly.
Okay. Colleen, did you have a couple?
Oh, goodness, let me think. I know there's other hidden Mickeys in a few places, but I can't think of any real secrets at this point in time.
There's one secret that I actually heard about. I think I was reading on a Disney website somewhere, is that there was a huge hubbub when the Winnie the Pooh ride was brought in instead of Country Bear Jamboree. Now, I'm not much of a Country Bear Jamboree fan. My wife Colleen is. That's a wonderful thing. And to really appease the fans of the Country Bear Jamboree, they left smaller mock-ups of the three heads that were on the wall. It was Buff,
Max,
and...
Oh, no.
So there's a buffalo.
Yeah, the third is either.
Buff, Max, and... I can't believe I can't remember his name.
There's the moose.
Yeah. I can't believe I cannot remember his name.
They're going to revoke our Disney Freaks license.
I know. Can't believe that. But it is. It's Buff, Max, and the moose guy.
Okay. So maybe this will get people to email in the show. I know I hate this when I listen to radio because that's when the phone lines light up. So if you know the moose's name, go ahead and email jeff.roney@gmail.com. Boy, I'll probably get 1,000 emails. Okay. So now, Holly, let's talk about the best place without paying. Now, what I mean by that is without paying the fee to see these fireworks shows in the special place. I know that there's a place that you can purchase for Fantasmic, but besides that place, what's the best place to view Fantasmic and also the new fireworks show, which is incredible, at Disneyland?
In the park, I would say probably one of the better places is obviously right in front of the castle. As close as you can get to it, that's a good spot to see it. But if you can't see them there, a little further back down Main Street is not a bad spot. If you're really looking for the whole entire experience, just about anywhere on Main Street, I would say, would be a good place. Otherwise, you can almost go back to the train station if you're lucky enough to sit at the entrance at the top of the stairs. That's another good place to see the fireworks. You can also see them from Fantasyland, too.
Now we're kind of melding two things, so let's strictly talk about the fireworks show, apart from Fantasmic, for a second. Now, from what I can see, they're shooting fireworks within the park, all from different areas. There's buildings that are on Main Street. There's also areas that are back by the Buzz Lightyear ride.
Correct.
And probably other areas, too. But it is worth, there was a gentleman the last time we went that brought his own little chair and sat down. I think it was, what, 5 o'clock?
Something like that, yeah.
He sat down in the street, right to the side there, waiting for the fireworks show.
That doesn't start till 9:30.
Right. And he brought his little chair and he was ready to go. So maybe he's got the right of it. Bring your little chair at 5 and just sit there and wait. But there was one other spot that I was thinking of, and this is for Fantasmic, which still is a great show, is obviously you can wait there in the front there by Rivers of America and face the little boathouse there, the
Tom Sawyer's Island.
Tom Sawyer's Island there, but face the front of it. That's always a good place. But there was a place where I was tired one day, sadly enough, and I just collapsed there at one of the seats where the Columbia berths there in the corner. And in between where the Columbia berths and the wooded area where Splash Mountain empties, or it comes down and comes around, there is a clear shot that you can see in the special effects area. You can see the projection of the video onto the water. And I think it's pretty interesting to see the backside of certain things. And you also see different sides of the boat and of the little dancing on the Beauty and the Beast and all the princesses and all that. So I think that's interesting to see another angle to it.
You can also see the characters usually when they're coming back from their little routines on the boats and whatever, they'll wave at you if they see you over there. Mm-hmm. There's actually an identical spot on the opposite side of the lake over between where the Mark Twain board and where the French fry wagon, as everyone likes to call it, the McDonald's French fry wagon, there's a little, like a boathouse where they would store cotton or whatever when they were running cotton and stuff back in the day. And there's a little, very little known area that has a very similar, view as what you just described.
Okay. Now, if it's someone's first time to Disneyland, and that person only had one day to see everything that they could, what do they have to do in that day to really see Disneyland? Holly?
Definitely, without a doubt, seeing the fireworks show.
Okay.
But I would also say doing some of the funner, cooler rides during the day, too. Pirates,
mm-hmm.
Haunted Mansion, Space Mountain, It's a Small World, and Splash Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I think is a really neat thing to do, especially if you have kids that a lot of people don't know about, is if you take the Mark Twain ride, you can go up to the very top where the captain is and knock on the door and ask him if you can drive the boat.
Mm.
And they'll not only let you drive the boat, but you get to sign the captain's log, and you can take pictures up there. And then they'll give you a Mark Twain certificate.
Wow.
That you can take home. So that's a really fun thing.
So that's not a birthday thing. That's just if you go up to the top level of the Mark Twain, knock on the door.
That's right.
Okay. And if no one else is there, then he'll let you in. And
yeah, and usually most people don't know what you're doing anyway, so they just ignore you.
Okay.
It's a really fun thing. Plus, the view up there is incredible.
as a tie into that, I know that also that the front of the monorail, and if you let the person know that's actually letting the people on that you'd like to ride in front of the monorail, they'll let you ride up there.
Yeah, we just did that for the very first time after all these years.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's amazing up there, too. Completely different ride.
That's a great grouping of rides and things to do. Colleen, did you have anything to add?
Actually, I would add to that probably a couple of what most people may overlook just because, it doesn't seem that big of a deal, but I think if you really want the good Disney history or whatever, I would suggest Autopia, which has been there forever and a day, and it just kind of, it's a throwback to the old vintage time. Definitely Space Mountain if you can get in there, and if you like rides like that. You know, all the good roller coaster rides are fun. The other thing I would definitely say that I think is a must when it's running, which of course this year it's not, but next year they'll bring it back, is Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. That is an experience that you can't miss. Of course, I'm going to say one of my other favorite rides, or attractions, I should say, is the Tiki Room. Yet another piece of history. what else would I say? I would say some of the Fantasyland rides, especially the ones where they're the real shortened version, like Peter Pan, Snow White, Pinocchio, those little rides, teacups. And, of course, one of my other favorite rides is the Storybook Canal Boats.
Okay. So those are kind of areas to just consider when you're going and not to pass them by. Because I think that people really go for the Indies, go for the Star Tours, go for the Space Mountain. But they may miss the little side rides that are actually really cool. I agree with what everyone said. The only thing that I would add is the train ride. It's because the train ride, not only do you get to relax, you probably don't walk in most of the day and getting kids food and drinks or whatever, but you get to get off your feet, but then you get to the primeval world diorama, the moving T-Rex and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it is dated and it's definitely not Jurassic Park, but it's a part of Disney that hasn't changed, I don't believe, that much since it was put in.
Probably not.
So that's my little addition to that. Now, as we all know, Disneyland is not the only park in Anaheim that is a Disney park. DCA is another Disney park right across the little plaza there from Disneyland. Let's talk, we'll start with Holly. Is it worth going? If you're coming here for the first time and you may have an opportunity to stay for 2 or 3 days, should you buy a ticket to DCA?
I would say definitely if you have more than one day to spare, yes, it would be worth it to go over there. If you want to go enjoy the new Tower of Terror, which is really fun, and see the best electrical parade ever, definitely go for that. But yeah, and the animation building over there is just amazing. If you want to learn about the history of animation and Disney, and there's some fun things for the kids to do over there too.
That was the big worry when it was built, is that there weren't enough things for the kids, but actually there are if you look, and they have their little Bugs Life thing that they built up. Colleen, how do you feel about DCA?
I really do enjoy DCA, and for those people who don't know what it is, it's Disney's California Adventure. We keep saying DCA, but California Adventure, I don't feel quite as hurried there. Like I have to, you know, cram 8 million things into 5 hours. You know, I can go over there and relax and just stroll leisurely and walk around. And, yeah, there are fun rides. Definitely not as much for those little kids. But if you've got, you know, around 10 and older, they would probably enjoy it a little more. But it's definitely worth going. I mean, there are so many things to see and do over there. You have everything from the winery, wine tasting, you know, to riding rides and seeing some of the attractions that they have, and it gives you a really good taste of California, especially if you've never been to California. There are some sections of the park that are just like you would see it if you went to San Francisco or to the Redwoods or somewhere else, down by, you know, Santa Monica Pier or what have you.
I find it interesting that we have a California Adventure right in the middle of California. But anyway, what am I to say? I have a suggestion, and I have a little secret about DC. I don't know that everybody knows. Is the suggestion is go see a play. They have the Aladdin play, which is really good. And in the past, they've had Blast, which is a drum and bugle corps. that they play, and just incredible music, and they're just great instrumentarians. Woo! Love that.
If that's a word.
I just made it up. But that's incredible. And also, the secret is when you go toward the winery, you see toward the right, as you're going around the curve, and on the left is It's Tough to Be a Bug, on the right you see the little winery where they're growing the grapes. And if you look in the middle of it, you see this pole with a little house. Looks like a little birdhouse, but actually it's for hawks. And it's to attract the hawks there to keep the population of the mice down. So that's my little secret. That's what that is. Okay. Now, Holly and Colleen both have been backstage in certain areas in Disneyland. So, Holly, I'd like you to talk about three, if you have them, really cool backstage stories that would give us a little deeper hint into the ride.
Well, there is a fun little restaurant that happens to be underneath the Pirates of the Caribbean, and it's called The Deck. Mm-hmm. And it used to be really fun to go in there because everybody that's in there is pretty much dressed from the New Orleans Square, so you see a lot of pirates and things like that. But it's just a little tiny place, but it's kind of fun, and every once in a while you can hear some of the pirate music and stuff like that down there, so that's kind of a neat little hidden thing. In fact, there's a couple little places around the park that are hidden behind stage that most people wouldn't know are there. I have probably one of the best stories is one day I was actually working on guest control, which was on stage, but I had a woman that was deciding to sit inside one of my windowsills on in front of Market House, and that's an illegal thing to do. They're not allowed to do that for safety reasons. And I had asked her, you know, to move, and she said she couldn't, that she was actually in labor.
Wow.
So in asking her, you know, is this your first child? She says, no, it's my third. And I went, oh, no. So I made the quick call to get some help over there, and we actually wound up taking her backstage where she had her baby. And her baby is one of two babies that have ever been born at Disneyland.
Wow.
So it actually says it on their birth certificate, which is kind of fun. And then I think, let's see, well, I have one more. It's just kind of a minor thing, but, you know, all the parade floats and everything come back there. But one day, Alice in Wonderland actually was a little drunk when the float came back and she fell off, and it was quite an interesting sight back there. Apparently, it was a great parade.
Yeah. Let's see. Did you have?
I don't have so much cool backstage stories, but one of the things that we mentioned earlier was sitting and seeing Fantasmic. There's the control panel or control booth, if you want to call it that. It's a large area where they control the fireworks. And my former roommate was actually the one who worked at Disneyland, and I used to spend most of my summer evenings over there after work and follow her around while she cleaned up for Fantasmic. And I can remember walking through there, really not backstage, but when most people can't get to that area to sit and watch. And I forgot to mention this earlier, Cal Ripken was sitting there with his family, and they stopped us and were talking to us and asking us questions, and that was kind of neat. And then going back one night to see the fireworks show, she let me backstage with her and her coworkers, and behind the Riverbell Terrace restaurant, there is an employee, you know, the cast member area. And if you go upstairs, that's where the break room is. And if you stand at the top of the stairs, nobody can see you, but you can see the fireworks very well from there. That was kind of a fun thing. Pretty much, I've been backstage several places, and I've walked through and seen some really interesting things, but nothing, no real cool backstage stories, so, you know, so to speak.
Okay, let's talk about Maynard briefly.
Maynard?
Yes.
I know very little about Maynard, other than Maynard is one of the most interesting cast members to ever come out of Disneyland, and he's frequently found in the Haunted Mansion, which is probably the best place for him. Just because he fits into the character of Maynard so well. He's got this look about him that is just very, you kind of wonder, is he okay? Is he really all there? Does he actually live here in the mansion? He's just very a unique character, but he fits in so well, and everybody just loves him because he does play the part of the, you know, the ghost host, and he can be very ominous sounding when he's reading off his script and stuff for the elevator ride and stuff.
There, he has his own website, and from what I understand, there is Maynard and then his evil twin. And so, obviously, when he's at the Haunted Mansion, his evil twin comes out and, you know, look down at the children and talk really scary and all this kind of stuff. But, yeah, Maynard is quite a character. We've seen him a couple of times.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Again, that's probably one of those secrets that you want to kind of look for. Just look for his site, and then when you're there, you know, maybe you'll see him.
Actually, I do have one kind of cool backstage story that I just remembered, speaking of Haunted Mansion. Being that my roommate was in custodial, we would always, you know, she would always sweep and clean up after hours, and frequently I would hang out with her either on her breaks in the break rooms or backstage, or I would end up staying in the park after hours, and kind of as long as I stayed with her, the security never bothered me. But one of the things that she would do is there's a little break area behind the Haunted Mansion that most people don't know about. And there's two things with that. One is that sometimes the cast members will stand at the gate. It's right next to where you exit the ride. There's a gate just off to the left, and sometimes people will stand there, and you know, people will be coming off the ride, and they're a little scared, and they'll look over, and they'll see people standing there, and every once in a while, the cast members will go, boo, and scare people. The other thing is, right back in that area, there's several generations of cats that have made their little home in the, brush area above on the wall, and cast members will feed them little scraps. They're wild cats, but they, you know, they know enough to come near to get food, but they won't let you really pet them very much. Although one cat did actually manage to become somebody's pet because she was just too brazen, and so one of the cast members had to take her home. But it was kind of fun to go back there every day and watch the kittens and feed the kittens and play with them.
Well, and let's talk about why they're there. Now, they're wild cats.
They are.
But originally, because of the park and people are dropping food, they try and keep it as clean as possible. But rats find ways to find food.
Yes,
even if you put it in a trash can or a dumpster or whatever. They are very ingenious creatures. And they had to find a way to not use spray poison everywhere to kill these rats. And so someone came up with the idea, why don't we have moused cats in here, and they'll catch the mice, and that's how it started. And so we see that they're still there and still
several generations
doing their job.
That's right.
At Disneyland, and they probably hopefully get tuna now and again or something good. But one more thing, I think men are tall 14-year-olds, so I just do want to talk about making out in Disneyland now. We'll leave it at that because it's a family show. There are cameras everywhere.
Yes, there are.
In Disneyland. Even if it's dark in a ride, there is a camera somewhere that will see what's going on.
Yes.
I've been on Pirates of the Caribbean. It wasn't me at that time, of course. And I was on the ride, and I hear in the speaker, cut it out. We can see you. Stop. So, anyway, just a kind word of warning, you know, to my friends out there that want to pitch a little woo on the ride. That's an old term there. Don't do it because you're being seen.
It's true.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true.
We used to, as cast members, sit in there up high in the tower in Pirates, in fact, and mm-hmm. watch the monitors.
Yeah. Yeah, it was long before the internet, but I guess it was just as fun, I suppose. Okay. Now, we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but let's talk about Christmas time at Disneyland. What's the best way to, in big letters, enjoy the season at Disneyland? Holly?
Well, there is a little thing that they do in December. It's unfortunately only, I believe, a couple days long. It's not really publicized, but if you are in town and can try and score some tickets to go, it's the candlelight procession.
Yes.
It's probably one of the most amazing things I think I've ever seen at Disneyland. Mm. And when I was a cast member, I actually got to participate in it too. So if you can, that's just amazing. Mm. But it's very hard, hard commodity to get those tickets. Mm-hmm. And I believe now they do it on kind of a first-come, first-served basis when you get there.
Yes.
I highly recommend that. And seeing the holiday parade, they really do a great job with that. And a couple rides that they actually alter during the season, which are just incredible to see, is the Haunted Mansion. They do the
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Thank you. Nightmare Before Christmas. And then It's a Small World. They decorate in millions of lights, and it's just amazing. And I believe it's the only time of year they've ever changed the costumes on the children in It's a Small World. So those are my highlights.
I love the snow at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. There for a period of time, they have the snow on Main Street. And at one time, they had it over near where Fantasmic is.
They did at one time, but I don't know that they do that anymore.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've been over there during that time period, so I have not seen that. I would absolutely agree with Holly about the Candlelight Processional. That is one of the most amazing Christmas programs, short Christmas programs. I was fortunate enough to participate in it 3 years in a row, one of which it rained, and that was really a unique experience. But that's where I was able to see some of the biggest names in Hollywood you'd ever, you know, Michael York and Robert Urich and James Earl Jones, and Brian Dennehy did it 1 year that I was there as well. It was really, really fascinating to see and well worth it. And it used to be that the processional started at Small World and made its way all the way down to Main Street to the train station, and the play, you know, was played out at the train station. Now, apparently, the last couple of times I've been in the area around that time, they do the processional down Main Street. However, they march themselves right back down over to what used to be the Hunchback of Notre Dame Theater. And so that's where they've been playing it at the last few years that I've been aware. It may have changed, but again, it's ticket only, and it's very difficult to get in there and get those tickets. I totally agree with the Haunted Mansion and Small World. It's well worth it because not only did they change the costumes in Small World, they also changed the song. Yay! Yay! Which is a nice little reprieve from the normal song. Not that I don't love the normal song, but it is well worth it. I think not only that, I love the fact that even the tram ride from the parking structure where they drop you off, there are lights wrapped around the trees and Christmas ornaments, lit Christmas ornaments hanging from it. The tree on Main Street is just spectacular. You can't even imagine it unless you actually see it. Just everything around the whole thing, just all the garlands and wreaths and holly and all that strung around is really, really, really something special to see.
Well, I love everything we've mentioned. I love the decorations that they have at Christmas. But I'm a sucker for the choral groups that walk around and sing the song. It gives me chills, makes me cry, but hey, you know, it's Christmas time.
The Dickens Carolers, that's what they are.
It's incredible, awesome. So, the Disneyland at Christmas time is just phenomenal.
What a great show. I really enjoyed that interview. It was a lot of fun. It was very easy to sit down and talk to other Disney fans about Disneyland. One more quick thing about Disneyland that we didn't bring up is you all heard my lovely wife, Colleen. And Colleen and I went on our first date to Disneyland. And that was at the beginning of our romance. And her roommate signed us in, and we got to sit in the special Fantasmic area underneath the light pole in front of Rivers of America on our first date. And that's where I fell in love with my wife. And I knew that she was just the greatest gal, so anyway, and we went back there later in our dating, and I asked her to marry me at the French Market there at Disneyland. So we did not get married there, but Disneyland has always been a part of our relationship, and we go back a lot. We have premium passes. So anyway, that is that part of the story. Please visit jrd-now.com. Take a look, leave a message or two, sign up, put in your login information, get to know that site, go to the forums, leave your thoughts. We're going to have an area for Disney freaks, so we can talk about Disney freak stuff. And I also want to let you know, this is very important. This will not be the last Disney Freaks show. This is only going to be the first one. And I talked to Holly after we recorded this show, and she said, oh, I have so many other stories. That was so much fun. We need to do this again. So we will be doing it again, and we're going to talk about more things. And I don't know exactly what we're going to do, but it's going to be different. So what I want to let you know is, if you're a Disney fan, a Disney freak, please continue to listen. Download the shows, because more Disney Freak shows are coming. Now, also, if you'd like to email me, I would ask that you do. Leave me your thoughts, good and bad and indifferent, at jeff.roney, R-O-N as in Nancy, E-Y, at gmail.com. Please email me today. Let me know what you think of this show. Is it worth continuing? Should I stop? Is it not something that's interesting at all to you? Tell me the good. Tell me the bad. And I thank you so much for downloading this show. And I tell you that I appreciate you so much. And Disneyland is really cool. And there's a lot of other things that we're going to be talking about through this show. So thanks so much for downloading. This is Jeff Roney signing off. Hello, podcast downloaders. How are you? This is Jeff Roney. And first of all, I just want to thank you for either subscribing or for downloading the show from any of the podcast aggregators that I have been listed on. Thank you. I also want to let you know that every show, just about every show that we do for Roney's Own Radio, there is a little extra that is included in the website version of the show. And this show in particular has something very special. It's a Disney Freak show, and on the website version, I have information that will allow you to take a special Disney Freaks Super Quiz. And there's some information that you'll get in that little extra bit that is in the website version of this show. So what I'd like for you to do is go to jrd-now.com, and you can click on the left side. There is the downloads little link, and that'll take you to the downloads. You click on Roney's Own Radio and find episode 14, Disney Freak Speak. Download from there, and that'll give you the information. Or you can go to jrd-now.com, click on the Roney's Own Radio graphic on the right, upper right area, and it'll take you to the same place to download the website version. Website versions are great. They have little extras a lot of times, and this one especially. So please go to the website, download the website version of this show, and good luck on the quiz.
Roney's Own Radio.